The Beast's communication suddenly became crisp. Nobody said anything about abandoning anybody. That is not our way. But we know that just because we want something does not mean that we will get what we want, and we still do not know what to do. And we cannot allow you, in your present state, to do anything that would jeopardize us all. I can see that you wish your father to go rushing back to Kamazots, and you could probably make him do this. And then where would we be? No, no. You must wait until you are more calm. Now, my darling, here is a robe for you to keep you warm and comfortable. Meg felt herself being lifted again, and a soft, light garment was slipped about her. Don't worry about your little brother. The tentacle's musical words were soft against her. We would never leave him behind the shadow. But for now, you must relax. You must be happy. You must get well. The gentle words, the feeling that this beast would be able to love her no matter what she said or did, left Meg in warmth and peace. She felt a delicate touch of tentacle to her cheek, as tender as her mother's kiss. It's so long since my own small ones were grown and gone, the beast said. You are so tiny and vulnerable. Now I will feed you. You must eat slowly and quietly. I know that you are half-starved, that you have been without food far too long, but you must not rush things or you will not get well. Something completely and indescribably and incredibly delicious was put to Meg's lips, and she swallowed gratefully. With each swallow, she felt strength returning to her body, and she realized that she had had nothing to eat since the horrible fake turkey dinner on Kamazots, which she had barely tasted. How long ago was her mother's stew? Time no longer had any meaning. How long does night last here? She murmured sleepily. It will be day again, won't it? Hush, the beast said. Eat, small one. During the coolness, which is now, we sleep. And when you waken, there will be warmth again, and many things to do. You must eat now, and sleep, and I will stay with you. What should I call you, please? Meg asked. Well, now. First, try not to say any words for just a moment. Think within your own mind. Think of all the things you call people, different kinds of people. While Meg thought, the beast murmured to her gently. No. Mother is a special, a one name, and a father you have here. Not just friend, nor teacher, nor brother, nor sister. What is acquaintance? What a funny, hard word. Aunt. Maybe. Yes, perhaps that will do. And you think of such odd words about me. Thing and monster. Monster, what a horrid sort of word. I really do not think I am a monster. Beast. That will do. Aunt Beast. Aunt Beast, Meg murmured sleepily, and laughed. Have I said something funny? Aunt Beast asked in surprise. Isn't Aunt Beast all right? Aunt Beast is lovely, Meg said. Please sing to me, Aunt Beast. If it was impossible to describe sight to Aunt Beast, it would be even more impossible to describe the singing of Aunt Beast to a human being. It was a music even more glorious than the music of the singing creatures on Uriel. It was a music more tangible than form or sight. It had essence and structure. It supported Meg more firmly than the arms of Aunt Beast. It seemed to travel with her, to sweep her aloft in the power of song, so that she was moving in glory among the stars. And for a moment she, too, felt that the words darkness and light had no meaning, and only this melody was real.